This is Physics 180B, the Physics Rangers, and we're talking about our group audio recording today. And the first question we want to address is, why do physicists think that physics is the fundamental science?
Well, I think that physicists think that physics is a fundamental science because every scientific discipline is governed by the laws and all the theories of physics. So they have a really good reason to think that physics is a fundamental science because it involves the most basic objects, all the forces involved, and most importantly, the relations between them. And I think I said earlier, the laws governing by them. So knowing all about physics provides us with information that can explain many processes outside the subject of just physics, like in biology or chemistry or physiology and stuff like that. So an example would be like the action potential that we went over in the first unit. So without knowing about electric charges and how they move and all the principles behind electricity, we wouldn't know how action potentials work. And even though the action potential can be thought of as a really complex process, it is fundamental in nature because knowing basically everything about the action potential allows us to understand things like motor responses and basically how all the signals in our body move. So this really shows how fundamental physics can be applied to a different science, in this case physiology, and explained on a larger scale. So in other words, something as simple and fundamental like electricity was just used to explain like a really important physiological process. So
yeah, that basically covers it.
That was good.
That was pretty
good. That was awesome.
That was, yeah, good.
Our next one, I think we're going to have some different answers on this one. So how will problem solving relate to our future professions, you know?
Well, it's a really broad subject because it can relate to any profession, so any specific one's not going to be.
What's your future profession, Adam?
I'm hoping to be a dermatologist, but so. I was going to be an optometrist first, so I'd like to talk about that a little bit.
All right, go for it.
Because an optometry has to do everything with how your eye perceives light and light rays and focal points and such, and I'm drawing a blank. We're going to have to stop that right now.
Well,
yeah, I don't know what to say. I thought we stopped recording all the time.
Okay, now on to terms of how problem solving is going to help our future profession. Well, the problem solving method applies to really all occupations because it can help. It doesn't matter if you're a business major, biology. The way of solving a problem is in this method is the best way, I'd say, to get an issue solved or resolved. Like, chat, want to put something in here?
I think we're all going to go into different kinds of professions here. We've got health professionals, we've got people that are interested in business and any kind of facet of life. You want to employ someone, you want to go to a doctor, you want to go to an accountant, you want to go see someone that's going to help you, that's going to use analytical thinking skills. You don't just want to go and have them say, well, you look like you might have XYZ wrong with you. You want them to run tests, you want them to interpret your tests, you want them to analyze things. So by just not taking things at face value, I think we're utilizing our critical thinking skills, which is hopefully what everyone's trying to do with Tony's methods, and I think we all kind of feel the same way on that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think I said it in my individual recording, where in today's world it's really competitive, like not just in the medical field, but like Kat said, in every profession. So it isn't just enough just to get the answer. You really need to use those critical thinking skills to get the answer, and getting ahead a little bit using critical thinking skills and attacking a problem from all possible angles not only helps you understand the problem better, but you also get a more complete answer. And that complete answer, I think, is what's going to be the difference maker in being good at your profession. In mine, particularly in physical therapy, using a very in-depth problem-solving method, using critical thinking skills and all that stuff, is going to help me be more professional and, more importantly, help my patient by getting them back better to their normal, healthy self and back to their normal way of life. Next. I think the...
Yeah, and like in the medical field or business field or any other profession, people look to you because you're credited with what you know, and like people always come up to you and ask you questions, and it reflects off you and how much you know about your profession if you can answer those questions and all the whys that come along with it. Like by using the critical thinking skills, you go in depth into your own answers by answering incoming questions from the other people. So
yeah, and when you can answer the questions, you gain more respect from like your patients. If you're a doctor, like if you can't follow through with the problem solving method, like you're not going to get good results and not have good patients.
That's right. I think that's the whole point of being a professional. Like, it is your future profession. Like, it's in the word, so you better know what you're talking about and be professional about it. So just know what you're talking about and go in depth. So next one, how does the Big Bang Theory relate to late 20th century existential postmodernist thought?
Okay, well, it's kind of a touchy subject because it involves both science and religion in a way, but if you're going to relate the two, I would say the Big Bang and existentialism share a common pursuit. Big Bang is a scientific hypothesis as to how we came about and where we came about, and this is what existentialists are pursuing as well. The meaning of it all, how it all came to be. Both these ideas come from reasoning and discovery and not the blind acceptance of what things are currently said to be. That's how I relate them. Anybody else, sir?
I think we can... Anywhere you go, I mean, you look on the cover of Time magazine, I saw it today, there was something about how religion and science interacts. And on the news, I mean, anywhere you turn, there's always the big question of where does the boundary from one interact with the other one? And I think it's a lot of it is personal as far as your religious beliefs and what you hold near and dear on that sense. But as far as science being taught at a university level and how it all relates, I think the scientific aspect of it is something that you can prove, and the religion and the belief in that sense is something more that you believe for yourself, you hold in your heart. And as far as existentialism and coming about recently with the philosophical aspect of it, I think it's more about defining your own reality, which basically you can really do. If that's the big question, science versus religion, define your own reality for yourself. And I know we all have different opinions on that, but that's sort of how I see it.
Yeah, you're a better speaker than me.
And as a group, I know we were talking earlier about how, you know, in the earlier time periods that it was more about what the church told you what to believe, and people didn't really go outside of, they believed what they were told, and that was it. I mean, even if we were talking about Galileo, an example, how he was persecuted for saying, you know, they were saying that everything revolved around the earth. That was what the church kind of dictated, and Galileo saying, no, this is the science of it, this is what's actually true. He was persecuted for that, and eventually he was
under house arrest.
House arrest, right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Eventually, didn't he retract his statement that he said that that he was wrong in that sense just because he didn't want to deal with that in his old age? But that's just a good example of how now you can believe anything you want to believe. Nobody
right.
dictates to you.
I think that existential postmodernist period that came about, I think that really sparked a lot of ideas where people might have been thinking about them, but they never really like went into them and started like research. And then the Big Bang comes along, and that's just another method for finding why things came about and your own existence. So that I think that's really how the Big Bang relates to that existential postmodernist thought. I think the Big Bang came about because of the way people were thinking during that time period, just going outside of the norm and thinking about things that the other people weren't thinking about, just working off your own thing. All right, the next topic we have to talk about is critical thinking skills and Bloom's taxonomy. I think Bloom's taxonomy was first introduced in 1956 by Benjamin Bloom. I'm kind of reading this, so whatever. It's kind of good lead-in. He was an education psychologist at the University of Chicago, so his taxonomy gave a naming system to educational goals and kind of divided it into three main categories. So, and it goes into depth like within each of those categories, and it really attacks every aspect of the learning process so that students will get the most out of their education. So I think knowing the information in Bloom's taxonomy as a student can really help someone maximize what they get out of their education, because if you actually follow it and look into it, you'll explore like way deeper into a subject that you're talking about more than you normally would. It's kind of like the problem solving method that Tony makes us do. Like, I never would have done the diagramming or the reasoning, I just would have done the solution. So it's kind of going deeper into it, you learn more, and that's what his taxonomy gives naming to, like actually how to do it. So I think a lot of it can be carried over into that problem-solving process. So really, it's really a naming system for critical thinking skills to help a person not only not only master what they know about a subject, but actually be able to use those critical thinking skills to solve a problem in the most, like I said earlier, in the most complete and efficient way. I think we use Bloom's taxonomy and the stuff he talks about in that without even knowing it while we do our physics homework. And if we just take a little bit more look at what he's talking about and how he related critical thinking skills to this process, we could really get a lot better answers, which means better grades, hopefully, so I don't get bad homework. It might take a little longer to get the answer, but you don't go to school just to rush through everything and go super fast and get the bare minimum. You're actually going to school to learn and problem solve and get full answers that kind of encompasses all the aspects of the problem.
Yeah.
So we were talking about critical thinking skills, and I'm going to go off topic and talk about fantasy football and how I use critical thinking skills in fantasy football. Like, when you pick your players, you look at your matchup, and then you pick the players that will do good against the person that you're playing against. Then you think about the players that you picked and their actual matchup against the team. Like, I look at the statistics from last year and how they did it well against that other team. I look at the player injuries and how, like, if one player is injured, how does that affect the performance of my fantasy player? Like, if I had, like, Antonio Gates and Phillip Rivers was just, like, a new quarterback, like, of course you're not going to give Phillip Rivers the ball and let him throw the ball all the time. Like, LT is going to get all the points and all the handoffs, so I wouldn't start Antonio Gates. And that's how I use my critical thinking skills, because I'm like a sports nut.
Yeah, Jet says that it's off topic, but really, like, it's really not, because that's critical thinking skills, like, for sure right there. Like, I can go off what he says. Like, he talked about picking players and how in-depth you go to think about who you're going to start and how you're going to win. Like, obviously, I wouldn't have started, if I played fantasy football, I wouldn't have started Tom Brady this week because he threw 4 interceptions last week. Like, that's critical thinking right there. And you may not think that that's critical thinking when we're talking about physics and school and stuff like that, but if you can apply that type of thinking and, like, really think in depth into those little minute details, that you can use that, if you have that in your head, you can use that in your education.
And in everyday life.
And in everyday life, yeah, for sure.
So I just actually realized that I just use critical thinking skills outside of class, and, like, we use critical thinking skills wherever we do, wherever we go. And I just realized right now I use critical thinking skills in football, and I didn't even know I was using it. So it's always going to be there, and when, like, if you really think about it, we're always going to be using critical thinking skills.
All right, that's why I think, like, realizing that you're using critical thinking skills is really going to help you. I think we're kind of being circular right now and kind of repeating ourselves, but it's all intervolved. So I think, kind of to sum it up, a lot of what we talked about was going in depth. Like, just a lot of the questions we talked about dealt with that kind of that subject pretty much.
Yeah, on the basis of things, not taking anything in general, you can be fed to you, or you can learn it and you can just absorb it as that. But if you take a deeper look at it, you can find where it comes from, how high the subject can go in whatever parameters you're connecting it with, or other connections to other things, and then because of that you get a greater understanding of whatever it may be you're learning.
Right, better understanding of everything.
And it's not just you that has a better understanding, it's other people that you're helping as well.
Right. Being able to convey that information and that deeper understanding that you have by using your critical thinking skills, being able to convey that to other people, whether it be your peers, your teacher, your patient, whatever, like, actually being able to say that to somebody and explain it, that's what's going to make the difference. So I think that's it. We covered it all. So,
Physics Rangers out.
Later.